This is it. Chapter 16. We're through 1 Corinthians. And it's a short chapter, so I might get you out of here before lunch. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, regarding your question about money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, that Sunday, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait till I get there to try to collect this all at once. When I come, I will write letters of recommendation for the messengers you chose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, they can travel with me. Now, last week, Paul was talking about the resurrection, about life after death. Paul's so in tune with the life of the church that he thinks a perfectly appropriate topic is to go right into money issues. And we're going to agree with him. In this case, money for poor believers in Jerusalem, some of which may have been Paul's friends. Christians were a persecuted bunch. It's hard for them to get a job. No one would hire a Christian. No one would work. Go, like if you were a Christian carpenter, no one was going to go to you to build their cabinets because you were one of those Christians. So it was a topic near and dear to Paul's heart that Christians in one city would reach out to Christians in another. Now, it was also a sign of solidarity. The church in Jerusalem was, you got to remember that up until a few years prior, these were God's chosen people. And they were having a hard time, weren't quite sure what was going on in those Greek churches, those Gentile churches. So this was a way for the Christians in those Greek churches to reach out in love, to send an olive branch, to send out a helping hand, and perhaps gain a little trust between the congregations. Is there anything that's happened recently that people may need a helping hand as well? Is there anything that's happened recently where the people we could help might be able to gain a little trust for us if we reach out that helping hand? Well, let's see what Pat Robertson has to say.
Hey, you know, Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor. That island of Hispaniola is one island. Mm-hmm. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti. On the other side is the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Dominican Republic is prosperous, mm-hmm. healthy, full of resorts, etc. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same islands. They need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God. And out of this tragedy, I'm optimistic something good may come. But right now, we're helping the suffering people, and the suffering is unimaginable.
Absolutely, Pat.
Hey, this is Shane Watson with SilverLadder.com. As many of you may know, I am a Christian. I'm very open about my faith, and I'm equally as open about my disdain for those who claim to believe the same things that I do, yet go out and do some of the least Christ-like things I've ever seen. I find myself frequently having to use the phrase, we're not all like that. And more important than people knowing that not all Christians are like that, it's important for the world to understand that Christ wasn't like that. The people like the Westboro Baptist Church, and I put church in quotes because they are some of the least Christian people I've ever seen, picketing soldiers' funerals and doing the things that they do. Those, for example, those who have killed abortion doctors or blown up abortion clinics, is that something that Christ would have done? Absolutely not. Yet they claim to have done it in the name of Christ, but it was a completely un-Christ-like thing to do. Those are some of the prime examples, and they're very extreme examples. And unfortunately, the extreme examples are the ones that get noticed in the media. Nobody wants to talk about Christians going out and doing charity work because it's not interesting. The atrocities that people have committed in the name of Christ, which have no scriptural support, and Christ himself would be completely disappointed by, those are the ones that make the news. Well, it's time for me to once again say, we're not all like that. Pat Robertson, and his statements about the earthquake in Haiti. Pat, what were you thinking? He made a statement that this happened to Haiti because in the 19th century, Haiti, while under French oppression, French rule, supposedly made a deal with the devil. And their deal was, if you get us out from under the French rule, we are committed to you. We will give you whatever you want. And Pat Robertson essentially said that this earthquake, which just happened very recently, was a result of that. So Pat, you're saying that God is punishing people who weren't alive when that pact with the devil was made for the actions of people who are no longer alive now. And the fact that he's making a ridiculous, illogical statement isn't even the whole point of this. Why make that statement at all? Whether it's correct or not, why make that statement? Why not use the platform that you have, your television show with who knows how many viewers, why not use that to make a call for help, to ask for people to donate, to aid this cause? You know, Christ said in the Bible, that which you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And Pat, rather than speaking out and saying, you know, these people have been hurt, let's help them, you essentially said, you got what you deserve. You've earned this. You brought this on yourselves. You had the opportunity to do so much good, and you did so much harm. Do you think words like that, statements like that, are going to bring people closer to God and bring people closer to Christ, or do you think they're going to drive people away from Christ? Words like that do more damage to the works of Christ and the gospel than any atheist ever could. People, you know, like you claim that atheists are doing so much damage and non-Christians are doing so much damage. How about the damage that people like you are doing that is absolutely not Christ-like and extremely disappointing? So to those of you out there who are non-believers, I'm sorry. We're not all like that. And you know what? Most importantly, like I said before, Christ was not like that. Meanwhile, there's plenty of Christian aid organizations that are taking donations to help this situation in Haiti, and there's plenty of non-Christian organizations doing so as well. So I'd like to take this opportunity to ask, if you're watching this video, if you're upset by what happened in Haiti, if you're outraged by what Pat Robertson said, whatever it is, let that light a fire under you to motivate you to go donate. If you're not familiar with where you can donate or what's a reputable place, because a lot of people are scamming people during this time, there's a lot of very disreputable people out there taking advantage of the situation, go to redcross.org. You can donate right there through the website, and obviously the Red Cross is as reputable as it gets. So this has been a little bit of a wandering rant. Rant is definitely the word here. But I had to say something about this. I absolutely had to. I had to say that I am extremely disappointed by the fact that Pat Robertson chose to use this as a platform not to do good and not to aid people that are hurting, but to condemn people who, regardless of what mistakes they've made or their ancestors made, we all make mistakes. We're all sinners. We're going to stand here and point fingers, or are we going to help each other up? Because you know what Christ would have done in this situation, and he would not have stood there and said, you brought this on yourself, too bad. Christ would have been the first person to lend a hand and not condemn. So, as a Christian, I'd like to say we're not all like that. I'm sorry for his actions. Please don't let that sway your opinion as to what Christians are. The worst of Christianity, or so-called Christianity, that you see out there in the media, the Westboro Baptist Church, the abortion clinic bombers, the people who make statements like Pat Robertson did, there is a fundamental grassroots Christianity that's being lost because, unfortunately, the loudest voices are often the most obnoxious ones. I'm Shane Watson with SilverLadder.com. Thank you for listening to my rant once again. My apologies for it being so disjointed, but I think I made my point regardless.
I let him respond to it when I found that video on YouTube because my response would have been not as nice. We're not all like that. And when Christians respond like Robertson did, that just hurts the whole cause of Christ. Paul said in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. In 21st century America, we focus on sexual sin. Actually, that's the only one we focus on, that section. Yet Paul talks about greedy people, idolaters, people who are abusive, people who are drunkards, and people who cheat people. I think Mr. Robertson fits in several of those categories. I don't know about the sexual bit, and I don't know if he worships idols or he's a drunk, but a few years back, 700 Club elicited donations to help people in Africa. The money that was raised to help people in Africa instead went to Pat Robertson's African diamond mine. That falls under greedy and cheating. His comments about Haiti are abusive. You know, he's collecting money again, and he says he's sending people to Haiti to pray. In an extended version of that clip, yeah, you saw the number of the 700 clubs listing donations as well. He's sending money to Haiti. He's sending people to Haiti to pray, not to go and help rebuild, but to pray. You know something? I'm not even sure where they're based. They can pray for the situation in Haiti right from where they are. We can pray for it. Wouldn't it be better if they're going to spend money to send people over, to send people over with supplies, or even to give that money to the Red Cross or other aid agencies instead of duplicating the effort? Don't even eat with such people. Paul teaches that we can use donations of money, donations of your time, donations of food, donations of whatever, to lend a hand, to reach out a hand of fellowship. The hand Robertson reached out was a slap. The words and the actions of somebody like that causes the Haitians, who many of them are deeply Christian people. They were afraid to go into the churches. The churches were built just as badly as all the other buildings there. They wouldn't go to the churches, but they were setting up tent churches. They were gathering together to sing spiritual songs and to pray. But a lot of the good we could have done, once word gets out, I'm sure word is spread about these comments. Haitian ambassadors, Haitian diplomats, we're talking about it. How's that going to make them feel, not just about Christians, but about the U.S. in general? What do you think his comments did for the cause of Christ here in the U.S.? Enough about Haiti. Verse 5, I'm coming to visit you after I've been to Macedonia, for I'm planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay a while with you, perhaps all winter, and then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time I don't want to just make a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while, if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I'll be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There's a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. When Timothy comes, don't intimidate him. He's doing the Lord's work just as I am. Don't let anyone treat him with contempt. Send him on his way with your blessing, when he returns to me. I expect him to come with the other believers. We all know Timothy was a young man. Late teenager, early adult. And he was being sent by Paul. Timothy was a believer. Timothy was a believer with great understanding and great teaching. It doesn't matter who comes with the word. If they're sent by God, we should show the appropriate respect for them. Now about our other brother Apollos, Paul. I urged him to visit you with the other believers, but he's not willing to go right now. He'll see you later when he has the opportunity. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. You know that Stephanus and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece. And they were spending their lives in service to God's people. Now I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and to others like them who serve with such devotion. I'm very glad that Stephanus, Fortunus, and Nicias have come here. They have been providing the help that you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. That section, you know, has a lot of bookkeeping about Paul's plans. He's in Ephesus. He plans on coming to the Corinthians. He wants to stay longer. You know, Paul's not able, or Peter's not able to come right now. But, you know, Timothy's coming down. And then Stephanus is up here with me. A lot of bookkeeping. But even in this, we see Paul's immense trust in God. And trusting that God will care for him and God will show his way. And that he's willing to go wherever wherever God sends him. Paul talks about treating the leaders in the church, the elders, with the respect they deserve. People such as Timothy, Stephanus, Fortunus, Achaeus. Some are coming and some have moved on, but they were at one time all served in Corinth. Paul writes and urges the Corinthians to submit to them and to others who serve with such devotion. I'd add here that the blueprint that Paul has laid out, that the blueprint he laid out right here is the rest of his letter. This is the summation of his letter. In other words, do these people serve with humility? Do they speak with the Spirit? Do their words match up with Scripture? Paul wrote in verse 13, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. That summarizes the whole letter of 1 Corinthians. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Paul goes on in verse 19. The churches here in the province of Asia send greetings to the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla, and all the others who gather in their home for church meetings. All the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Greet each other with Christian love. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, signed Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord, come. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. May love to all of you, my love to all of you, in Christ Jesus. Paul's closing sends his warmest regards for those in Corinth from Paul and his fellow believers. Have you ever visited a church where all the people look like they've been eating lemons? Everyone having a sour look on their faces? The music being played sounds like it should be played at a funeral, even if it's supposed to be upbeat music. Now, some hymns are played slow, and some beautiful hymns are played slow, and you know, and when it's done right and it's done correctly, it's beautiful. But when a song's supposed to be really upbeat, I've heard, my favorite hymn is the hymn, He Lives. He Lives, He Lives. Very upbeat song. He Lives, He Lives. You know, it's like, man, some of these churches can turn any hymn into a funeral dirge. They'd take the set today. Well, they'd probably say it was blasphemy, but if they didn't, they'd take the music set we had today and take all the life out of it. Everything's done by the book. Everything's done this way because that's the way it's done. But you know, that's not what Paul shows through his simple closing. Warm greetings and encouraging each other to greet each other with Christian love. Churches are supposed to be warm places. They're supposed to be friendly places. They're supposed to be places with fellowship and fun. You know, we don't have a problem with here at Richmond. I bring it up because that's what's put in front of me, working through Corinthians. And, you know, that's been the case several times through 1 Corinthians. And, you know, but this is the message to the Corinthians, and I'll tell you what, this is the message to the church in the United States today. I don't understand if somebody is truly a believer, truly filled with the Spirit, how they can be so sour and unexcited about their Savior. My question for them is, do you have faith? Or do you just have religion? You know something of the two? I'll take faith. 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. So this is the end of it. This is the end. This is the end of this series on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I hope you've learned something about your faith and how that faith interacts with others. I hope that you'd be cautious about how your action or your lack of action can affect those around you, such as the weak believer or the non-believer. I hope you've learned that just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean that you should. I hope you've learned that our worship times should have a certain order and respect for God, and that you've learned the difference between tradition and scripture. I hope you've learned how to act with humility towards all. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. And do everything with love. If you come to the Winter Blast, there's one more teaching from 1 Corinthians.